Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Pierre-Jean Sauvignon. How are you, Pierre?
I'm good, thanks.
Excellent, excellent. You're from Domaine Sauvignon, but you're part of a larger wine group, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm the fourth generation of the pleasure maker, because in my place we don't say winemaker, we say pleasure maker, because we want to give pleasure to everybody who drink a bottle of Sauvignon.
Lovely.
And yeah, we are part of the group Grand Chais de France. Grand Chais de France took over the Sauvignon business in 2007, something like that. It used to be my father and my uncle who owns the business. And by 2007, we have to find a solution. And I've got two cousins, one brother and one sister. They all love drinking wine, but they don't want to work in the wine industry.
Yeah.
And I was the only one, and it was a little bit of money for one guy. So we decided to sell the business to Grand Chais de France. That's what it is.
Okay. And that, but you run the domain here in Muscadet. We're in Muscadet, as people say, isn't it? It's not Muscadet, it's Muscadet.
Yes.
And Muscadet, Sèvres-et-Maine.
Muscadet, Sèvres-et-Maine. Sèvres-et-Maine are two rivers from the region. So you are here in the middle of the Muscadet region.
Yep.
The Muscadet, it's roughly, to make it easier to understand, it's 10,000 hectares. And in the Muscadet, you've got three regional areas.
Mm-hmm.
Muscadet Sèvres-et-Maine, where we are today.
Yep.
Muscadet Côte de Grandlieu and Muscadet Coteau de la Loire. The biggest one, because it's roughly 80% of the surface, is Muscadet Sèvres-et-Maine. And why we call it Sèvres-et-Maine, it's just because Sèvres and Maine are two rivers. And historically speaking, the vineyard was settled just around those two rivers.
Yep.
And it used to be, if you look at 25, 30 years ago, Muscadet de Sèvres-et-Maine. Meaning what? Meaning Muscadet coming from this region, from those two rivers.
Oh, okay, but they've dropped the de now. So.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. And do both rivers feed into the Loire as well?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're tributaries into the Loire.
Exactly.
Let's talk a wee bit about, you said that your grandfather started the winery here.
Yeah, the story started in 1935 when my great-grandfather used to be a pig negotiant. He was selling pigs to retailers, shops, butchers, restaurants, the whole supply chain. And when you live in a wine area, even if it's in the Loire, in Bordeaux, in Alsace, whatever, every single deal needs to be done around a glass of wine.
Mm-hmm.
Just you to know, in 1935, Valette was almost 2,000 people, and there were something like 25, 30 different pubs in Valette. So every single shop has his own pub to close the deal. So my great-grandfather was drinking 7 glasses of Muscadet to sell 1 pig, and he was selling 20 pig a day. So he was a massive, massive Muscadet drinker. So he decided in 1935 to purchase his own vineyards, the Château du Clairet, and became his first client. So now I'm the fourth generation. There is a fifth generation, but she is 2.5 and he is 4.5. Mm-hmm. So he's a little bit too young to know what they're going to do.
And given that the winery is now owned by Grand Chais de France, does that mean that will they naturally move into that role, do you think, in Sauvignon?
2007 for two reasons. Because Grand Chais de France is the number one in terms of French export.
Mm-hmm.
So we are number one in terms of French wine for the exportation. And Sauvignon, by history, was mostly dedicated to the export market because it was something like 65-70% of our business. So that's one of the reasons. And the other reason why they took over, it's because Sauvignon is dedicated to the Horeca market, on-trade market. And Grand Chais wants to focus on this trade. So they decided to purchase a business who were dedicated to this business and started like that. So
that's
the two reasons why Grand Chais de France took over. So now I'm responsible for the Sauvignon wine, so the Sauvignon winery, the winemaking, as also all the blend. because we are working as Sauvignon on 42 different appellations, from the Muscadet towards Pouilly Fumé. And I'm also the Loire specialist for the group Grand Chais de France for the export.
Does Grand Chais de France, do they make wine from all over France?
Yeah, Grand Chais de France is, which is for me, if you have to say one thing about Grand Chais de France, it's exactly that. They are really, really into the winemaking process. So we are not on the free market, meaning what? Meaning that we need wine from Bordeaux, so let's buy a bulk from Bordeaux. Or we need the Alsace, so let's buy a bulk wine from Alsace. No, we are involved in the vineyards. So we own vineyard all over France. There is only one region where we are not.
Alsace, isn't it?
Champagne.
Oh, Champagne. Oh, because Alsace is quite closed.
Yeah, but it's definitely not Alsace because the head office and the owner, Mr. Elfrich, is coming from Alsace. So that was the beginning of the story, was in Alsace.
That's why you've got Alsace, because some of the bigger national companies from France, they often don't have offices or wines coming from Alsace.
That was the beginning for them.
Yeah, so that makes sense. That's why you're there.
So yeah, they own properties all over France. So we have domains in Alsace, in Rhône, in Auch, in Clairette d'Oddy, in Jura, in Bordeaux, and obviously where we are today, in the Loire, because we own almost 500 hectares in the Loire. Mm-hmm. And for me, I said it's really important because Grand Chais de France really believe in quality. And you manage the quality when you manage the vineyards.
Yep.
When you're involved in the vineyards, you can follow everything from the vineyards towards the bottle. And that's really, really, really important. So we are the first also private winemaking company in France.
Okay. Let's talk about Muscadet. In particular, where is Muscadet? It's in the Loire Valley, but where are we, relative to the big geological climate issues?
So Muscadet, which is the best wine in the world. I'm not very objective, obviously. I've got Muscadet in my vein, but somebody needs to say that. Muscadet, it's the closest appellation to the ocean when you look at the Loire. Mm-hmm. And also, when you look at the map, Loire, it's northern part of France.
Yep.
So it gives a typicity and a style in our wine, meaning that when you are in the Loire, northern part of France, the climate is not really warm during summer.
Yep.
It never gets really cold, also because we are close to the ocean. We have the influence of the Atlantic Ocean.
Yep.
But we never get really warm during summer. And that gives us the style of the fresh, clean, well-balanced, lively character. You will never find in the Muscadet this 14.5% of alcohol. It's always fresh and clean. And that's really what we want when you are drinking a Muscadet Sèvres-Mentioli. Also, when you are in this part of the Loire, the western part of the Loire, you are in the Massif Armoricain.
Well, yeah, massive. What does massive mean in France?
The old volcano area.
Oh, okay.
Massif means a small mountain, and where we are here used to be a volcano area, which is not moving anymore, but it used to be this region. So that's why granite, which are volcano rock, is really the identity of this region. The Massif Armoricain stop in the Muscadet, mm-hmm. and then you move to the chalk calcaire.
Yep.
When you start to the Anjou towards Pouilly Fumé. So the soil is really driven by granite, clay, and a little bit of sand when you are south of the appellation.
Okay, because we had a look at your vineyard, and it did look like there was a reasonable amount of clay, and that clay, that's worn away from the granite, is it?
Exactly.
Okay. What's the key grape variety here? Well, you said you actually have a number of different grape varieties that you grow, but...
Yeah, in my garden, because in my place we don't say vineyard, but we say garden, because we look after the vineyard that you look after your garden in your place. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit bigger, it's 100 hectares, so that's why I say my garden.
Yeah.
So in my garden, I've got three grape variety. The first one, obviously, is for the AOP, the appellation, Melon de Bourgogne, for the Muscadet. Mm-hmm. And
some people call it Merlot Blanc as well.
Yeah, you've got a few different names. You've got the some of them call it Muscadet.
Yeah.
Because most of the Merlot de Bourgogne is growing in this region. And when you drink a Muscadet, it needs to be 100% of Merlot de Bourgogne. So there's no big deal saying that I'm growing Muscadet or I'm growing Merlot de Bourgogne. So it's not a big thing. So yeah, it could be Melon Blanc, Melon de Bourgogne, Muscadet. That's the same grape.
Yep.
So this is roughly 70%, 75% of my vineyards.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got Chardonnay and Sauvignon for an IGP, which is Domaine du Clairet. Domaine du Clairet. That's the IGP Chardonnay and the IGP Sauvignon. That's a specificity when you have a domain as an AOP, like I have, Château du Clairet, Muscadet, Sèvres-Mentes-sur-Lys.
Yep.
Even if I have Chardonnay and Sauvignon as an IGP, I can't name the cuvée as Château.
Yeah,
so yeah. I need to call it like Domaine. It's a protected name for the AOP.
Oh, I didn't realize that. So domains are not... an IGP must be called a domain.
Yeah.
Okay, but an appellation can be a Château.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking about that the other day. Why are some called chateaus and some are called domains? And
it's you've got a different name. Like I don't have all the name in my mind, but you can have it on the book. But it's like a chateau. It's for the AOP. But if you look at Abbey could be IGP. If you look at Bastille, it could be IGP. Mass could be IGP. So you got a few names like that who could be named as an IGP or not.
Okay.
But there is rules.
Yeah, I have seen domains that are AOPs as well.
Yeah.
But you can't call it a chateau if it's not an AOC or AOP.
Exactly.
Cool. Excellent. Well, let's get back to the Merlot
de Bourgogne.
Yeah. I've always called it Malon for some reason, but it's Merlot, isn't it?
It's Merlot.
Yeah, Merlot. What type of grape variety is it? Is it a thick skin, thin skin, big grape, small grape, tight cluster, loose cluster?
First of all, it's the best grape variety in the world.
Yep, yep.
Obviously.
It's white.
It's white.
Mm-hmm.
It's medium to thick skin. And that's the reason why it's established in this region, because we are in the kind of a humid area.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's a little bit thick, it's better against botrytis. So that's the reason. The other reason is it gets the flowering season is a little bit later.
Yeah.
So we don't have a huge problem of getting frost.
Yeah.
That's also the reason why it's in this region. It's a very tight berries.
Yeah.
You don't have a lot of trouble for flowering usually.
Yeah.
It's not a big, like you say, Cabernet is a trouble. Grape for that.
Yeah,
it's not a big trouble for that. It's usually giving you some light, fresh, clean wines. It's not a grape variety that will give you a very big alcoholic berries and alcohol wine. It's mostly used for the balanced, light, crisp white wine.
Yeah, and that's what Muscadet is. Muscadet,
that's the definition of Muscadet.
Yeah, excellent.
And the other specificity is the process in this region, the Surlis.
Surlis. We're going to talk about Surlis in the next weeks. In fact, let's finish the interview now, and we'll pick this up next week, and we'll talk a wee bit about the winemaking and maybe taste a couple of glasses.
That sounds good to me.
Excellent. All right then, Pierre. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.